Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are taking calls for honor readings and discussing our topic, symbols in our lives. The symbols in our lives. Well, not all of us have symbols, right, Neil?
We all have symbols.
I don't have symbols. I don't have any symbols.
To some degree, you have a symbol.
I don't have one symbol or two. No triangle, no tambourine, no symbols.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you'd be surprised.
Are you hiding
a
bear?
Every time you walk, I hear a little ting. I think it's to do with your heels. But no, we all have symbols.
No, I know. It was a joke.
Yeah, I know.
It was a joke. Ha ha.
I know. We just lost our call.
Yeah, we won't set the show up in the comedy section of Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
That's for sure. For neither of our jokes, I might add. Anyway, yes, we're talking about symbols in our lives, and that's going to be an interesting topic as we move forward in today's show. But we're going to take our calls first. We have actually a few callers, and 619 area code is waiting in the queue. However, does not have his or her hand raised. 619, please press 1 if you want to speak with us. They're not pressing 1. Okay. So we will bring on, I believe this is Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hey, hi. How you doing, guys? I just had a really quick question. My dad just passed on Friday.
So sorry.
This is my first parent. You know, it's like I just have my mom left now, so it's really hard. You know what I mean? I just was curious. I haven't like gotten anything from my dad since he's passed. Like I haven't got, usually I know this is going to sound strange, but when I lost my grandparents, they both came through to me very quickly through dreams, and I haven't gotten anything from my dad really. And I'm just curious if you're picking up on anything, maybe because he had a very tragic death. It wasn't an easy passing.
So can we get a little background? Because I know you had said sure. There was a tense relationship with your father, and I think you might have mentioned the last time we talked that he wasn't well.
Yeah, he's been sick for the last couple of years, and, you know, he had to have his legs amputated and some of his fingers. And when he passed away, he had this calcification issue in his body and also, like, diabetes. So they slowly just kind of chipped away at him. He also had renal failure, so he was on dialysis, and he just, as the numerology goes, my dad is 5-1, 1949, which is at 29-11-2. His life was a really, really difficult life. I mean, he was abused when he was a kid growing up, and, you know, his parents put him in a foster home and just a lot of really bad stuff. Yeah, my dad just had a real rough one.
But he had a long illness. It wasn't like a sudden death. It sounds like he had been sick for a while.
No, but I mean, I would say the reason I say it was tragic, not because it was sudden, but more that it was just so long and drawn out and so, slowly chipped away at his independence and who he was, and to the point where he was just basically like a shell, like sitting there. So it was just a really sad thing, you know.
So sorry, Mary.
Yeah.
Almost 69 when he passed.
Yeah.
69.
The
40 years on his karmic age.
You're trying to connect on a radio show.
68.
That might be a little bit. That might be a little bit challenging. But what's your birth date again, Mary?
She's 10/18/85. Sorry, Mary. I didn't. She's 10/18/85. I know your birth date.
Now, let me tell you something. This is our belief. Typically what happens when the soul leaves the body, the soul is combined with the soul and the spirit. And it goes body, soul, spirit. And the soul is still infused. It still has energies of earth life in it. What the human being did, what they did in their life, the pros, the cons, the good things, the bad things. And that's all in the soul. The spirit is above the soul. And when the spirit, when the soul is released from the spirit ultimately transcends. There's no more connection to the earth. It's all over with. And that's it. But until that spirit can release itself from the soul and become just an absolute spirit, there's still some combined energy that's earthbound and that deals with what we've done on the planet. So when we die, our soul goes into sort of a place where we're evaluated, where we talk about our life and what we're going to have to face, all those kinds of things.
And can I add something?
Even when
a soul transcends the planet, there still may be work on the astral plane prior to, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you immediately move up into the spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the height of your energy.
Our belief, you know, Mary.
But go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Jump in. Your father died Friday. Now,
yeah.
Today's Wednesday. When my mother left, I didn't hear, you know, I had a strong connection with her. There was no report from her for years. And so, sometimes we think, but when my grandmother died, I was in high school and I was sitting in a classroom and I could smell her. So I smelled her. And then about an hour later, my cousin came and said, your grandmother died. We have to go to the hospital. So, it all depends. It all depends on this, the nature of how they connect and when. It all depends. I am getting a few things that are kind of weird. And we're talking about symbols today. But I'm getting this feeling like, I don't know if they're almonds or walnuts or peanuts, but there's something in that family that I'm getting. Now, I don't know what are you saying? Want to say something?
Oh, well, my dad loves like peanuts. Like, he used to have them in his car and he'd like to unshell them, you know, and he'd have them in the, he'd always have them with him. So it was always like a mess, you know, cause like, you know, when you break a peanut open, it in the shell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It gets like messy. So my dad always kind of had, but he always had like a bag and he'd keep some in him. And sometimes he'd just go and grab some, which is just random. You know, my dad always liked nuts a lot. Like, you know,
okay.
He liked walnuts. So when I was a kid and everything, yeah.
Okay. So Mary, because the show is condensed, we don't have much time.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Right.
That's his signal. So we must assume that he's here. He's up. He can hear us. He can feel us. And what he decided to do was he decided to send me, maybe in link with the joking of the show theme, a symbol. And the symbol that he probably had many ways to contact, but he just thought, what's going to be the best rapid radar that I pick up on? So he sent me this symbol. You validated it. And that's his way of saying, you know, Mary, I'm here. I've crossed over and I'm... probably Neil, I'm right. I'm discussing things with angels and guides and I've got to assess a lot of stuff that I didn't do correctly, but you know what? I'm sending you love because I want you to know that I see now what I've done wrong, my mistakes, but above all in the astral realm, what spirits usually do, souls, they see the compassion and the love above everything else because they're no longer tied to the ego that dramatically. So he's probably saying, you know what, Mary, I want to just send you a brief message of love
right.
through this symbol to let you know that we're going to be connected. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
So just because right, a soul well, is on the astral plane and still connected to the earth and may in fact like come back into another physical body does not mean they're going to be appearing necessarily in their loved ones' lives after they depart the planet, because if they're, you know, concentrating on doing the work that's necessary on the astral realm, then they may not want to come, you know, to connect with the earth in that regard in terms of showing up in a dream and so on and so forth. So
yeah.
It's possible that it will happen in the future, but you know, if he's involved in an intense
it could. I mean,
review of
I
his soul, then not may not necessarily happen.
At this point, Mary, you might find I wouldn't say that if you see a peanut shell on the street to go, oh my god.
And it's so funny. We have Michelle waiting on the line. She's the one with the bird's nest. So
oh, the bird's
yeah.
nest. That was another one.
Yeah, I don't know.
But,
oh my
no,
god.
If you found a peanut shell in the middle of your carpet, that might, you know, go, wow,
might
okay,
be a sign.
Okay, something's going on here. He could appear
that's
in a
funny.
Dream.
Okay.
He could appear, you know, if there's a peanut and an elephant next to it, call the animal housing. You know, I don't know
animal
how far he's going to go with this.
But she could also try to set herself up prior to going to sleep, too, to, you know, try
yeah.
to connect with him.
Yeah.
You can maybe do like some type of meditation or laying on your
meditation.
Back and going into the astral realm. Picturing,
you can
you know.
Do a reading for well, more direct thing, or you can just assume that there was a connection. If you want to believe that, we believe.
Yeah,
it.
And
we
I, you know, I believe it. I believe that you know souls do a life review after they pass, and that sometimes maybe they're not. I've also read this theory that sometimes souls like are shocked when they get to the other side, so they need to be. I've read this theory once, and I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's almost. I don't know what they call it, but they almost like put the person in a situation that they were in on earth where they were happy so that they kind of slowly assimilate back to the other side. Like they're not always they're not always prepared for the crossing. You know what I mean? Have you ever read that before?
Well, there's so many
theories.
When you get up into the astral realm,
yeah.
It's not for us to limit the options as to what they may be. And I don't want to get in a confusing situation where, you know, I'm challenging people's beliefs as to what happens up there. It's a mysterious realm up there. And there's many rooms
right.
in that realm. So essentially, you know, the degree as to what happens to a soul is based upon the degree as to what they did on the earth.
Right.
Their energy, how much of their energy they utilized on the spiritual nature, how much they were able to get through their issues.
I would say a shock to the soul would be if there was a departure due to suicide or an accidental death or maybe even a murder. That may be a more mm-hmm. shocking state that a soul goes into once they're in the astral field. But I mean, in general,
yeah.
if we're talking about someone who passes, you know, from an illness or for whatever reason, natural reasons, there's going to be a definite release of the physical body where there's going to be bliss, even if there's not ultimate transcendence
right.
when you're in the astral plane, because
okay.
you don't have the physical
you
body.
You
got to
remember your father, diabetes and the consequences of that. And obviously he went through a lot of pain that
yeah.
some of that was signed up for some of now, some
right.
of that may have been produced by just human activity in this lifetime or his genes or whatever you want to call it. But some of that he signed up for. We some
in
of
terms
us
of
sign
karmic,
up for the way we leave the planet.
In terms
the
of a
test,
karmic.
The test of that is
yeah,
what does one
energy.
Do in that? Do they maintain their faith? Do they start cursing God? Do they start? It all depends on what a person does during the last moments of their life, whether it's months, weeks, or even years of suffering. So that would
yeah.
be most important. And so your exit becomes your entrance into the astral realm. How you exit the planet becomes the doorway through how you You enter the astral realm with your soul.
What
intact.
Happens in the astral realm will be contingent somewhat on how you exit the earth.
Of course, yes.
So the other thing before we move on to the next caller, I wanted to say, on the last show, Mary, you were asking about 11. Yep. And so I was having deja vu moment. And I went back in our emails. And so I don't know if you have the emails that we, you know, our correspondence previously, but I went back like a year and we discussed that topic. So there's a little more information in the emails than we provided on the show. So if you have them, you can go back and look. And if you don't have them, I can forward what we wrote to each other.
Oh, I have to go back and read it. I didn't even think to look. Honestly, I don't even remember. It's so long ago. So
yeah, you
I will go back
the
and
same
read
question.
It.
And we talked a little bit about it, but so go back. It's
okay,
like
well,
May of 2017,
you.
I think.
Oh, okay. All right. I will look. I know we don't have too many. I mean, maybe I have like 10, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
you probably, if you didn't 10, delete maybe. Them, they're there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't take too long
cool.
to read all of them.
All right. I'm going to go back and take a look. And I completely agree with you guys and always listen to your archives and just love your theories and stuff. And I've read a lot of the same things, and Neil, that show where you're talking about all the different philosophers and stuff, I love all those. And you didn't mention Alan Watts, though, and I was really bummed about that. So you got to talk a little bit more about Alan Watts someday.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
All right.
Bye,
all
Mary.
Right, guys, thanks so much. All right, bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Kristen. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah,
Hi.
We're fine. Thank you for
Hi.
Asking.
Okay, good. Hey, so I don't want to talk about a bird nest. I'm over that for the moment, okay?
Wait, what did she? I missed all that. Did you hear what she said?
I think she's
like
she's,
garbled.
I don't know. She was singing a bird nest and she's over that.
No, I said I'm not going to ask about a bird's nest. I'm over that.
Oh,
nest.
Okay.
We have a bird's nest right outside of our house.
We
with
do.
Mockingbirds.
We do. We have a bird's nest. It was actually originally a mourning dove's nest, which was abandoned.
And they asked us how Michelle was doing.
I was going to say, now you think of me every time you see a bird nest, right? So it works both ways.
Right.
Okay.
So what do you want to ask today?
I want to ask something different. And I should have asked this last time, but I got distracted.
That's okay.
Where I live is comfortable in the fact of I have my basic needs met, but it's a place that I don't plan on living forever. It is definitely temporary. But there are some things going on here that I don't like, and I don't trust my landlord at all, and I don't like the man. And I found out that the place I live, he's selling it. And I want to know if I'm going to have any issues with that.
So, he's selling it. And is the person selling? I mean, is he wanting to sell it? So the person, I mean, you can't tell the person who's buying it what to do with the property. So I would imagine that, you know, someone might want to reside in it if he's selling it.
Well,
or is this like an apartment structure?
Yeah, it's like an old house that was cut into four pieces, so it's like four apartments. I can't
so
imagine anybody gutting it to live in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, if you don't want to live there, is there any other option for you to move prior to the sale? I mean,
well, one, I don't know when the sale would happen, and two, I kind of just don't want to do that because I feel like I'm going to be somewhere else at some point soon.
You don't want to do what?
You don't want to move because you're going to be somewhere else that's what? Like not pleasant?
Right. I feel like there'll be some changes in my life where I will move, but I don't really want to hassle with a move just for this, for somewhat of a temporary situation.
You're not going to have to. No, don't worry, Michelle.
But she doesn't like where she lives. So
you're in a pickle there. You don't like where you're living, but you're not ready to move yet.
It's a fourplex, not a pickle.
Oh, pickle, yeah.
really bad jokes on this show.
If you suffer any damages from our jokes, call 911 immediately. They already have us on file.
You shouldn't encourage people to misuse.
You get this shot, it completely takes away the toxic poisoning of our joke. Okay, so you see what's happening, Michelle, is that you, let's face it, your karma has a problem in living energies.
The one.
There's a 101. you have some problems in terms of living dramas of your life, your home, your foundation, your boundaries. That's already determined according to our analysis.
And she's validated it in terms of her upbringing and so on. So it's followed her throughout her life.
Followed throughout her life. But you have a 7 and you have a 7-4. Now, this is good because the balance of spirituality is yet to come. Now, okay, so you are 13 years beyond your karmic conflict there. And you might be able to go 15 years. So there's a good chance you'll be there 2 more years, which isn't a long time. That would make you up to 45. Now, you could leave before then, but if you're saying, you know, if I want to stay here until I'm ready to go, what might be the evaluation as to how much longer I'll be here? I would say 2 more years. How long have you lived there so far?
I've lived in this city for about a year and a half.
This same residence?
No, 2 years would be next February. 2 years in the same residence would be February next year.
Okay, so we're right.
February of next year.
So even with your master number being 3, our calculation that you might
be
there 2 more years is about right.
She'll be going through a change within 9 months of February next year because she turns 45 in October of 19. So that's a change for her. That's a cycle. She's a 3.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe towards spring, early summer, the place may be bought. You know, if it's an ill repair, they have to negotiate and all this stuff. The person buying it would intend to become the owner / landlord, even if it's bought up by somebody who wants to flip it over or whatever it is. And you're a reliable tenant. I assume you pay your rent every month and you're dependable. So they don't want to get rid of you. And so, but if you're talking about a change, moving somewhere else, we would give it about anywhere. You can go sooner, but I think if you're talking about, gee, when would I be forced out of here? Or the universe take me out in about 2 years. Around.
Okay.
And we just, as a footnote, Michelle, I'm not sure if you're single or not. Don't tell me.
Single.
Oh, single? Okay. You're going to have a relationship that's spiritual. It's coming up, probably around 45.
Wow.
If you want it, you're going to be getting it.
Okay.
That's positive.
I mean,
that's good.
That is positive. That is positive.
Because you've been wanting a relationship, but not really dating, but not really finding.
Right.
I do.
So is this somebody I already know or is this someone I don't know yet?
No, I don't think you know them. I don't think you know them. I mean, you may meet people you've known and something might go on, but I don't think the person we're seeing is somebody
you know.
That's
the ways. I mean, she's 45 is a year and a half away, approximately. I mean, so coming up in the future, coming up.
Okay. The other thing with where I'm living, though, there's also things that I don't like going on here that I don't
think
the landlord.
Is it noisy or?
There's some issues of things that I don't think he's handling, and I don't think he's taking it seriously, and it's not a joke. And then there's also issues with some of the other tenants and drugs that I don't like.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm in danger, but I don't think it's a good setup of a situation. And I'm a little concerned if I say something, I'm a little worried about my status here.
Yeah.
Right, because that can definitely be compromised if you're a troublemaker or perceived, not that you would be a troublemaker for complaining, but being perceived as a troublemaker could be something that would result from a complaint.
This isn't meant to frighten you or intimidate you. So don't worry about what I'm about to ask you. Don't take it anywhere that you would be concerned about. But have you ever known anyone who owned a gun?
Yes.
The thing that I would do in your situation is maybe by some sort of spiritual prayer or something, that you would continue to pray and the people would get busted, police would come, throw them out, something like that. I don't think you're going to be harmed or hurt as long as you, you know, keep your nose to the ground and mind your own business. I wouldn't be a whistleblower right now in your situation. I would probably seek some sort of spiritual energy through meditation, prayer, or something like that, that would, and see if it works in 3 or 4 months, that would maybe remove some of the more undesirable elements that you're living around.
I mean, I'm just wondering, is it, what do you pay for rent? Like, is it under
$1,000? It's really cheap.
Under $1,000?
Yeah.
How much is it?
It's $675.
Okay. $675, and I wrote down $8. So yeah. I'm within $125. So you would not, because it seems like as a single woman, it would be safer to live maybe in a complex that has, you know, security, maybe an indoor entry rather than an outdoor. You know, there are places that you could go, but they're going to be so much more expensive.
Well, as long as you keep your doors locked and you've been there a while, that, you know, you're part of the terrain, you're part of the environment. I don't think you necessarily need to do anything drastic right now.
But I mean, perhaps she can save in this year and a half, if the move isn't impending, mm-hmm. For something that's more, more suitable to your needs than a place where you're like sharing an apartment with drug dealers and a landlord that doesn't, you know, fulfill his responsibilities.
Yeah.
as he should.
The first year was tolerable. It was fine. But now there's just been some changes here and it's just not good. I mean, I just, like I said, I don't feel like I'm in danger, but I don't really like what's going on. And I don't feel comfortable with what's going on. And again, it's my thing. I don't want to move, but, and I am trying to save money by staying here, but I think there could be better people that live here.
Well, I'll tell you something, Michelle. I think that in your particular situation, for our purposes, to go into any more depth, it would have to be off the air.
Sure.
I don't think you want to give more details on the air, just in case. Two, there may be ways for you to control your environment a little bit more by some discreet contacts with law enforcement or whatever, just to patrol and keep an eye on things.
Right.
Police aren't.
Yeah, you can be anonymous when you report to the police department.
You can be
anonymous
and not say anything, and then, you know, keep a cool face and like, you know, and just increase the patrol area if there is manpower for that or police power for that. That might be one way
of
doing it. Woman power. Oh, everyone knows I'm a woman. You know,
I'm just.
Anyways, that might be one way. You got to remember this. You're not meant to live there forever. You're not going to be there. This is a temporary stop. It's in the karma of your birth date that you have these problems. They're going a little bit later on in your life, but I think that things really make a better change around the age of 45. And then, you know, from 45, then from 47, you have pretty good years. Thereafter. But, you know, that's what I would say. So, if you want to be proactive, you might want to discreetly, anonymously, maybe contact the police department, tell them
about the
issues,
the
surveillance,
that are,
what's going on.
Obviously, there's some issues that aren't like reportable to the police department. If the landlord's not doing his job, that's, you know, she can't report that. But the drugs and so on and so forth, she can maybe alert them.
I have a feeling those people may be moving out in 6 months anyways.
Mm. It's 6 months now.
Listen, I completely empathize with you. I completely empathize. I've like very, very strong degree of privacy in my living environment. I don't like outside noise and, you know, I get it. So whatever you can do to adapt.
You know, and then the last solution, Michelle, is even a happy move. Just move and eliminate the drama and just go with the flow of moving and find someplace else to live.
But keep in touch, Michelle. We have to move on to our next caller.
Let us know what
happens or give us a call off there.
Okay. Thanks a lot. So look at the bird nest and think of me, okay?
Bye.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. 619 is still hanging out here, and I don't know. Do you... 619, do you want a reading or are you just listening?
I would like to read it.
Okay. I didn't think they heard us or she heard us. Okay. Hi. We said to press one, but perhaps you didn't hear that. So we didn't know if you wanted one. Your hand wasn't raised. That's okay. What's your name? And 856 has left and called on just a sec. 856 has left and come back. So you are next, 856 area code. Okay, 619, it's all about you right now. What's your name?
Denisha.
How do you spell it?
D-A-N-I-S-H-A.
Okay. Hi, Denisha. You're calling from California?
Yes.
D-A-N-I-S-H-A. Okay. And Denisha, what is your birth date, please?
February 22nd,
1996. Okay. 6, 16, and 14. She's a 30 equals 3. Actually,
31.
Really? 2, 6? No. Yes. You're right. 31, 4. Sorry. Okay. So she's one number above our former caller, who's a 30 equals 3. Your karmic number is 31, and your master number is 4, Denisha. And you are 22 years old. 22 years old, actually, which is happens to be
your day
of birth. And, yeah, you've got 22s everywhere, all over your karmic side of your birth date. So what's your question, Denisha?
Well, I've been surrounded by death for some reason, and I can even see death himself, I guess, and I was just wondering if it means anything. Something scary is about to happen.
Means anything about your death or about what specifically do you mean? What does it mean? I mean,
well, I guess I'm just afraid that it could mean maybe my death or somebody else's, or it maybe if it means something else. I don't know.
Well, I probably wouldn't say that you're because you've been experiencing a lot of deaths that you're going to suddenly die necessarily. Who's died recently around you?
Well, it's not that. It's just like I run into the subject a lot, and I kind of like could have sworn I saw the Grim Reaper a couple times around me. So I don't know what's going on with that.
So you mean in like, are you someone that sees visions?
I guess. I mean, I never really even saw like a vision of someone dying. It's just around me. Like,
right, but you're saying you saw the Grim Reaper. So that would be a vision. If you're seeing spirits or spirit forms, that's what we're talking about in terms of vision. So when you saw the Grim Reaper, was it in a dream? Was it like in front of you with your eyes open and awake state? How did you see that image?
Yeah, I was awake.
You were awake. So do you typically see spirits and ghosts and things like that?
Yeah, I do. I saw like a cat one time, and I saw a couple kids in my house, and I've seen ghosts before, yeah.
Yeah.
And she has a strong 6 energy in her 222, and then she has it in her year. 6 is, you know, equatable to the third eye, and so there's obviously that energy.
Right. Well, you know, Denisha, when I was a kid, I saw all kinds of spirits. I saw evil spirits. I saw demons. I saw people who had died violently. They surrounded my bed at night. I saw all kinds of things. And when I was a child, my grandfather was a psychic too, and he, okay, so he observed that I was seeing these things, and I was talking about how fearful I was, and I was even at a young age very fearful of dying because I saw these strange spirits. And what he did to me back in those days, back in the 50s, was he threw me into a closet. He locked it, and he made me spend the night there with those spirits. They all decided to go in there. And he opened the door in the morning, and he said, "Are you still alive?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Were you scared?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Now, do you fear them? They can't hurt you." I went, "Yeah, you're right." So what happened, that was about 5 or 6. Now, what happened then, I learned something at that point, and now 60 some years later, I still hold to that truth, that basically when you see these things, they don't there are spirits that will play with you, play with your mind. If your third eye is active, even in the daytime, and it's having conversations with your naked eye, and you tend to see things because the third eye is sort of awake during the daylight hours, and it's converging with your naked eye, and so you're able to see things in an extraordinary way where somebody else besides you may not see it, but you do. Yeah, you're going to pick up things. Sure. Just like if you walked outside and you went down to the street and you went down to the city and you saw a bunch of bums, you saw a gang member, that doesn't mean that you're going to go, uh-oh, am I going to die? Because did you see bad things? No. The astral world is filled with good, bad, all kinds of things, Denisha. So here we come on this one. We're psychics. You're asking us, we don't perceive that this is a death threat or anything like that. Why? Because we're using an immediate vibrational reading with you. And I don't perceive that this is a death threat. There may be some darkness in your life. You may be, I don't know, a little bit tending to be attracted to darkness. That's okay. You know, my favorite author when I was a kid was Edgar Allan Poe. So what? You know, I used to hang out in graveyards and write poetry and talk to the dead spirits that walked around the gravestones. I've been to that too. But it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you're around them, you're just a human being that has a certain energy field that they are probably attracted to because they know you can see them. And you may have a little bit of an edge in you where you've had maybe a hard upbringing. You're a little bit sensitive, maybe a little bit off the social realm. There may be things about you that make you extraordinarily unique. But you gotta learn how to balance the energies of dark and light, good and evil, all those kinds of things. I would probably, if I were you, it may sound corny, write poetry, do something with art. I think I pick up that you're an artistic person, personally.
Can
you like those things?
Can you validate that, Denisha?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
See, so I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I did that. I drew the spirits that I saw. And when I was a kid, the school system saw me doing that, and they sent me to a psychiatrist. They thought I was going insane. I went, no, these are spirits I'm seeing and ghosts. That didn't help me at all. But, you know, be artistic. Don't take it into an artistic realm. You're not going to die. I don't get that. I'm not getting that one.
I would suggest, too, getting into, you know, more education about the astral realm, about spirits, and learning more. There are so many people that have an ability to see, but then the interpretation of what is being seen is totally off. And these people call themselves psychics, and they probably have their own radio shows too. And unfortunately, what happens is people get misguided because there's not enough education paired with that psychic ability. So for you, since you have a gift to see, you should start educating yourself more. So, listen to our show. There's a lot of information we provide here on the show.
Right.
That sound.
You know, sometimes, psychic. Denisha, I'll do a reading with somebody in person, and with my third eye, I see demons around them. I see dark spirits around them. It's common.
This happened recently. The white mouth.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Someone else saw
happens.
Something when they open the third eye, and the interpretation is thinking, oh, it means death, and it really was not the
was
right interpretation.
Else. But you know, I don't usually when I see those rascals, I tell them to leave, or you know, I do energy work, and they scatter. They're around, but what are you going to do? You have a house. Sometimes you have a couple of mosquitoes in it. That doesn't mean you're going to die of malaria. You have to look at this in a way that the universe is very vast. And maybe there's an angle in this lifetime, in your lifetime, where you kind of live on a little bit of the dark side. But that doesn't mean you can't turn it into something artistic and still keep your boundaries, you see, your balance, so that you don't go too gothic on yourself and, you know, start cutting yourself or anything like that. If you start harming yourself, then you know you need help. But if you take it into an artistic realm, I mean, H.P. Lovecraft, even we're going to say Stephen King is evil. Come on. So, you know, look at it that way. Okay? But don't worry. We don't see a death threat.
Hopefully that helps. Denisha, we have to move on to other callers. But did you want to say something real quick before we move on?
No, that really helped a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. And you're always welcome to call the show again, Denisha, or you can join us on Facebook. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. We have a caller from 856. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys? It's Rose Maria.
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks.
Who is this?
Rose Maria.
Oh, you know, I thought of you the other day, too. Rosa Maria. I thought of you last week. I thought she had not called for a while. I really did. Are you 1231-74? Is that right? I remember your birth date, too. 4, 5, 6, 7, 17. Yeah. So here you are. what's going on?
A lot of changes. Been working a lot. So trying to move on and do my thing for my heart's desires to move forward to a different country, different job, and all that happy stuff. So all aspects of work. So whatever that's coming up, or for the better.
Well, what are you doing now? If I'm remembering correctly, you used to work sometimes overseas.
Right. So I'm trying to go back.
So you're trying to go back to that. And what was the work, the line of work?
Computers, information systems.
Right, and you worked with, like, government? Did you do that?
Right, right.
Okay, and now you're doing what?
A deli clerk?
I was
going
to say retail, which is, like, So that's really weird. So how did you go from doing this to that? What happened?
I needed a job, so I needed to work to make money to pay my bills and stuff.
Right. Well, good. I mean, that's good that you got a job. So getting back into it, you're looking to get back into the field that you were in previously. Is there a shortage of work in that field? Is that why you weren't able to continue?
Payment and contracts are not going through. And
because it's like you're an independent contractor type thing. It's not like it's a sign for a certain period of time. Is that right?
Right. And I just got a call this morning, an email about overseas one, so I don't know if that's going to go through or not.
Okay, so that's good. So there's a potential job, and when does the job start?
It hasn't said it. They just asked me for an updated resume and stuff like that.
So they're pursuing you for a resume. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a really good sign. So, I mean, we'll definitely put energy behind that. But in terms of...
Between August and October, I can't quite pinpoint specifically, but between August and October, you're back doing your work. Don't forget, you're compounded in your master number syndrome. So you fluctuating...
Master number syndrome.
I call it syndrome. You fluctuating from government work, computer work, to deli clerk, is normal for the kind of waves that go through your life on a karmic level. You see, you came into the earth with this building, this structure, that you were going to fluctuate, and that your life was going to be a little bit ups and downs and a little bit of turmoil, being single, things like this, not throughout your whole life. You won't be like that throughout your whole life. But you do have a commanding challenge in how you base your foundation. Your foundation will not always be as secure as you would like it to be. So your root system's a little bit not very secure due to karma. But the thing about it is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have a strong spiritual nature, so your best avenue to achieve your goals, your aspirations, your happiness, is to focus on the seventh chakra, the chakra number 7, which is your spiritual chakra, and you want to incorporate a strong sense of spirituality in your life, because if you do that, it's going to pull you out of a rootless system and give you basically more of what you want and desire. So remember, on an earth plane, your record isn't real great. what you are supposed to do is take the earth plane and convert it to a spiritual plane, and then the earth plane will change more according to your desires. And you may have, you know, whatever your issues are, I think that there might have been some division in your family growing up. I don't know if it was a separation, a divorce, or your parents were just simply estranged from one another. But there might have been some confusion in your early years about religion, or the overindulgence of one particular religion that might have been distasteful to you, perhaps. But what you got to do is take religion and convert it to spirituality. Does any of this make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Oh. And are there any validations in terms of your upbringing that we touched upon?
Not a lot of confusion with the families who were together. It's just like the religion part, like when my girl died and all that. It's like weird and people are passing away at a young age. So
you had death in the family young.
What religion was your household?
Catholic, Roman Catholic.
Yeah. And do you uphold, are you a strong Catholic or do you branch away from that?
After my grandma passed away, I branched out of it.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's all we're saying, Rosa Maria,
what you're saying.
Is that the that you branched away a little bit. That's all we're saying. And
right.
The darkness. So you're probably going to go back to government work. And so going back to the original statement between August and October.
So in terms of applying for this, what do you have to submit your resume?
Yeah, I sent it out this morning after I got the email.
And then, like, what's the process normally that you're used to?
I'm used to, like, either call back or call back first now and then in person or stuff like that, or Skype in between.
And they do an interview and so on and so forth?
Right.
So I would say stay on it, you know? Make sure you follow through. And, you know, if you don't hear from them in a certain amount of time, what are you going to say?
Well, I was trying to pick up something around her. I don't know why I'm seeing this, Rosa Maria, and just real briefly, and maybe you can help, maybe you can't help. But I'm seeing you, like, going into your kitchen, and you open up the cabinet, and there's, like, these nice dishes. I don't know if they're china, but they're nice white dishes, like teacups and... They're just pretty.
Yeah.
Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, my mom does. Yeah.
On your lawn?
Your
what
mom,
did you say?
Her mom.
Oh, your mom.
My mom.
I thought you put it, I got the right china, but it's on the lawn.
Yeah, you know,
oh, your mom. Okay.
Great alternative to the cupboard.
Do you like tea?
Sometimes. Actually, I drank some yesterday. Sometimes I do get it, sometimes I don't. Depends.
Ah, that's why. Okay, well, so she drank tea yesterday.
Yeah,
that's
picking
why.
Up on your diet. So we're getting some vibrational sensation. That's all, just to validate.
Cool.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I won a free gift from work, too, like pots and pans and stuff like that, the good stuff.
Oh, she won pots and pans. Well,
oh, there you go.
That's in the neighborhood.
Well, deli clerk, maybe you can do a cookbook while you're waiting to go overseas.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Overseas cooking.
Yeah, they cook a lot better.
According
God.
To a Catholic.
Don't let. Don't read any of his.
No. It's overseas cooking. According
mine
to
mine either.
Catholic, branching away.
Please.
From religion, and is going to about to go work with the government. These are some wonderful.
Well, that's
recipes.
Like Julia Child. I mean, she was in government. She was
she,
a spy.
Oh, yeah.
She
was
a spy. But then look at her. She became an illustrious chef, world
yeah.
famous. So. Okay, well, she's more Italian. She could do the Italian
or the
version.
Art of Italian cooking.
Yeah, I should want to get there and get some cooking classes.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted, Rosemaria. Let us know about the job and check in with us.
All right, cool. I appreciate it.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
About her cooking?
No. And I won't say anything about yours.
No. No, don't say anything about mine.
No, you, well, you you know.
What?
Well, you cooked for me, actually, when I came,
did.
Which you've never done anyway, but we know why you did that. But that was very cute. That
yeah.
was cute. Rice and vegetables.
Steamed rice, vegetables, and about
when I
40,
came for a reading.
40 condiment, 40.
he said,
whatever was in the.
I don't know. I put everything in that was in the refrigerator in there. I don't know.
Wine, bubble gum. And it was like an arcane comedy of recipes. Okay, so we have another caller.
We have another caller who has not pressed one. So if that caller does not press 1313 area code, then we're going to just continue on to our topic because we've got about 7 minutes left
okay.
in the show. So not a lot of time to delve into this. Symbols.
So they don't want reading?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So symbols.
I mean, it's funny because Michelle, symbol. I mean, she on her last show,
yeah.
the bird's nest. And then, you know, of course, symbols
come
up constantly on.
I would suggest that everybody read Man into Symbols by Carl Jung. He was a great psychologist that branched into symbolism and used all kinds of archetypes.
And the symbols.
And he was
dreams.
somewhat of a father of that. Of course, it's linked to a lot of earlier energies and discoveries and philosophies and the surrealism and things like that that took place in the symbolic category of time. But what he did, what was
symbolic
interesting.
Symbolic category of time.
Yeah, well, there's always been symbols. Remember, the cavemen had symbols
on
the walls. The prehistoric, the animals and the mastodons and stars and moons and the idea of that it was the first tribal communication of being the hunter and the aspect of the hunter and the aspect that the hunting and was also guided by the cosmos because there were suns and stars and moons. So as the element of those, they were really the first Carl Jungs of all time. So Carl Jung was only premising the idea that what was developed from that was considered now cosmic consciousness, with the symbolism of human beings to aspects of the universe that will still have some solidity and solid nature of definition beyond just being purely symbolic, like gods and goddesses and mythology and creatures that we can't really determine if they're real or not. We have this idea of the separation between symbols that are real and symbols that are more esoteric and mystical in concept. What Carl Jung did was he took the mystical archetypes and he planted them into the consciousness of psychology, whereby we were able to branch away from psychology and more or less term it into parapsychology, which is the human being's relationship to the universe, not just to the self. Now, when we have symbols that are related to the universe, think of the symbols. Think of, for those who have tattoos, what kind of symbols do you put on your body? What do they mean? Some of them are going to be faces. Some of them are going to be names, letters, numbers, designs. Some of them depict landscapes. All of these are basically the cave drawing that's put on the internal constitution, the eternal appendix, the energies of the body now. Others are going to not want to do that. They're going to what? Wear jewelry. They're going to wear certain clothes. These are all symbols. In other words, when you wear clothes, whatever you wear in clothes, if you were suddenly thrown into a primitive tribe, they would consider that those clothes are your tribal statements, that they mean something. You're wearing red and blue. That's earth and sky.
Right. And then you get into, you know, gang symbols, also, you know, brand symbols.
Right.
People wear, you know, clothes with slogans on them.
Slogans.
It starts to seem really ridiculous when you think about, you know,
and
what
then,
symbols, how powerful they are. And then, you know, wearing something like
and
that.
Wearing that. And then there's a symbol of what's called the symbol of gesture, which is the signs that we use with our hands. The victory signs, the gang symbols, the signs that we all use, even the Masonic temple, the Masons will use.
You knew exactly where I was going to go with that.
I know. You want to say something about that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of the hand symbols that are used that we think are pretty benign have deeper layers of meaning, you know.
Yeah.
Deeper layers of meaning.
It's always funny, you know.
To really do a lot of research about what those symbols mean, there's a plethora of information about
symbols. Have you ever noticed President Trump when he's sitting, he'll do this, like, he'll make this, like, this kind of triangle right at his crotch.
Which is.
It's very strange. He does that all
the time. Maybe he's picturing a vagina there.
I don't know what he's doing. But
wishful thinking.
He uses, and then he does the thing with his.
Satanic symbol, which is the okay sign.
Whatever you want to call it that.
Well,
but some people will say A-OK.
The pyramid, though.
Like
he's using a pyramid at the crotch. Then he does the OK symbol, which is, purported to be a satanic symbol in some circles. If you start to research the symbols, there are deep layers to meaning.
Deep layers. And we're not,
and not everybody uses those symbols has that intention of meaning.
And we're not just signaling out President Trump. We're not here to belittle President Trump or criticize him. Bush had his symbols.
Well, they all
Reagan
do.
Had his symbols. He's just, we're using
and
it.
Then we look at the handshakes and
the
so
handshakes
on and so
and
forth.
Things like that. So those are symbols too.
And dream symbols, symbols that come in dreams. I mean,
correct.
So
we
are running out of time. We have like 1 minute, but.
Well, that's a symbol too. The clock is a symbol.
Sure.
When we're surrounded by symbols, but symbols basically is the conversation between time and timelessness. We have our timely symbols that are connected to our immediate environment, our immediate life. And then some of us decide to use these symbols in our world that transcend time. They're mysterious. They can't be quite explained. They come from times and zones that are almost timeless, not even of this planet, not even of this universe. So we come from these areas, our astral realm travels too, our past life travels. Sometimes we carry with us symbols that we use in one of our past lives. I knew a guy, I'm doing a reading with him, and I said, you had a past life as an Egyptian in the tombs. He rolls up his sleeves, and he shows me a pyramid on his arm. And he said, you know what? I put this on, but I never knew why. I never knew why. Now it makes sense to me. It's from a past life. So, and that was stated before I even saw the tattoo. So we have these symbols, and that goes with animals as well. I've done several readings where I talked about an animal, and they roll up their sleeve, and they have a panther on their arm. We're animal symbols, all kinds of archetypes. So we didn't have much time to discuss
it. No, we're
going to
get into it next show if we have the opportunity. But, yeah, we're out of time, Neil. So
okay.
We are back on the air on Friday, everybody. You join us then. Bye-bye.